I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. It is I, your host, Sarah Armour, aka Sarah Starmore. Molly has been out the game for weeks now. And Molly, we love that. At the Space Trash Podcast, eternal maternity leave, although please come back. But I just want to say, like, totally give space to Casey and Mom and Mads and Paz. She calls her parents, they call them Mads and Paz, but they actually, to their face, Casey and Molly call their parents Mommy and Daddy still. And that's so funny.
That is, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Molly is touring London town with the baby and Mads and Paz. And I am here. I did a late night SOS to my friend Pearl. She's a fabulous comedian, MMA fighter, incredible artist. Oh, Pearl, I finally figured out for Moonule, it should be a disco ball.
Yeah, disco ball. Round.
End of camp disco ball is my brand.
Yeah. That is. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
Took years. So anyway, please vibrationally give a warm welcome to our Mayday guest host, Pearl Rose.
I feel the warmth, even though it's in the future and they're going to be hearing this recorded. I feel it through the time waves.
No, but like, what a perfect intro to the pod, because isn't that what we're talking about today? In a way, you don't even know this yet, but you did maybe.
I do feel like there's a looping of time. I've been thinking about time.
Yes!
There'll be moments where like, I'm facing a decision in my life in the present moment. And I'm like, gosh, I feel like I'm 16 years old again, like hoping my mom doesn't notice I'm high coming home. And it's like,
dude, that's so funny.
Because I do just live with my mom. I'm like, I have to frame it that this is somehow some kind of healing thing. I'm like, no, this is good. Cause it's like, we're back in like our Gilmore Girls right. Day.
Wait, I did not know you were living with your mom.
Living with my mom in a one-bedroom apartment.
Stop, Pearl, stop.
She fucking sleeps on an air mattress in the living room.
Wait, you sleep in the bed?
I sleep in the bed because she's Catholic. She's a martyr. She's not going to sleep in the bed.
That's like sort of healing in a way. It's okay. You sleep on the air mattress, Ma. It's Pearl's world now.
Well, her mattress sucks. It's super lumpy. It's like 20 years.
Oh. So it's actually like you get the shitty mattress and I'll sleep on the really plush air mattress.
She got like a nice new air mattress, but it's just, it makes her gets up early. But she's in rural Minnesota like half the time at her boyfriend's.
How fucking hopeful at her boyfriend's?
It's going really well. And it's like, they've known each other for 40 years. She was friends with his late wife who passed some years ago. He's an artist, like a professional, like prints. He makes prints. Like he has stuff.
Is he good?
I mean, he was married for a long time, so I feel
no,
like.
No, is he good at art? Fuck his loving.
Oh.
Is he good at art? You're the best artist I know.
He's very good. He has shit.
Okay.
He has stuff at the Met.
What? Wait,
he used to live in New York for a long time. He's like, he was represented by some legit galleries. He's the real deal, but my mom's. You know, she's a piano player, so she does a little piano. He does his art. It's very cute.
Wow.
And I'm hoping, knock on wood, that they...
She'll move in with him. She'll move in there.
Move in full time, and they'll get married. I really want her to get married. I see it. I want the wedding.
You can hear that being, like, what we end up leading with right now, just because it's been sort of a decade-long dark night of the soul. So it's like, there was a time when mom could jump in front of traffic. Like, I love that we're like, marry this man. He's a good artist. Like, what a loving tone to mother that we come to the Zoom with. What growth.
Thank you for noticing that.
Hell yeah.
It took some like yelling arguments up north in the woods on a camping trip.
Sure. As it should.
You know, a lot of like crying by a river.
Very good. How old's your mom?
70. He's 75.
She's 70. He's 75.
And she literally is like, I don't know if I want to rush it.
That's amazing.
Like, you fucking have to rush it, dude.
No, but what confidence. The subtext there is that she's like, I expect to live a long life.
Well, that's part of it. Like, she takes care of herself and he...
Is your mom... Is she a MILF?
First of all, no.
Is your mom a MILF?
I would not know if my mom was a MILF. She will never be a MILF to me.
I literally am like, Mom, you are a MILF. You are a MILF. Just for my own, like, I'm like, yeah.
Saying a lot about our relationship to the others.
Exactly, though. But that's the work. That's the moon work.
Yeah.
The moon's the mother. The moon work is the work.
I think moving forward, you just like realize like, oh, my mom needs to be the main character. And you're like, I just need to let her be the main character. And then
yes,
leave the house. It's fine. Like, just, I've accepted that now. And I feel like from what you've said about your mom, you accepted that some time ago, but you...
Bro, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said to me, at the end of the day, until you're old enough to play your mother, you can just coast.
Yeah.
I was 24. I was thin. Blah, 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 blah. Couldn't play Myra then. Now, a post-COVID 37, I'm getting ready to play Myra.
Like, play your mom.
The ultimate sitcom character that's ever lived.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like your mom is like a higher concentrated level of like whatever the thing is, you know?
Literally always for everyone.
How old's your mom?
My mom is... She was born in 55. Oh my God, math. I'm panicking.
Okay, so she's 68. Because my 68. Mom...
She's been saying that she's 80, so I don't know. But okay, yeah. 68 makes sense.
I like doing that. I like saying I'm 40 before I'm 40.
Me too. I've been saying 40 for the last 6 months. I feel way better about it now. And I'm like, you're young. You're not even 40.
Yeah, and people are like, you look great. And you're like,
yeah, for 40.
Yeah.
I look great for 40. Dude, same. That's huge. That is why you have to live with her now.
I mean, hopefully not a lot longer.
No, the fact that now you're like, you deserve love, Mom, is actually everything. That's the outcome of the healing.
But he also made her, he softened her up. I don't know, just having a good man, because he's a good man. He loved his wife for 40 years. He knows how to treat a woman. To have a good man care about my mom, her sparkle is back. He probably added another 10 years to her life. She's giggly. She's happy. She's like a little schoolgirl.
Right. The fact that she's like, there's no rush is truly hopeful.
I mean, I think that's more her just being fucking... Like,
she should want to fuck around. What's she have to lose?
No, we talked about it when we went up north recently over some cheeseburgers. And I was trying to tell her, she's like, why do I feel? She's like, but I don't know. I feel like apprehensive because I have my life and I'm so independent. And like, not to be like sad or a downer, but like, my mom was really alone the last like 15 years. She's like, my life is what? This shitty one bedroom in a shitty part of town where it's like just fucking shitty outside, and her like boyfriend has this beautiful like farmhouse in Red Wing with a big studio, grand piano.
Hell yeah! Can I move? Let's be his roommates.
I mean, I want.
They should move into that apartment, and we should move into his place.
We're not gonna get the house, Sarah. I could pull, but I don't say
it. Internet miracles.
I mean, I stay there sometimes. It's a really beautiful, it's like a really beautiful house because
been dying for a farmhouse with the artist studio and pool.
It doesn't have pool, no pool.
Okay, well, I'll add a pool.
but anyway, I'm just like, Mom,
he's the dude.
And like, he's not rich, but he's so sweet. Like, he bought the Japanese wind chimes she really wanted for her birthday. Like, they're doing the gardening, all this stuff. It's beautiful. It's a great place. It's a great location. It's everything she needs. He's so patient and loving with her. And she's...
You think she still wants to torture you?
No, she's just like, we talked about it. And I was like, Mom, do you think... I was like, here's the thing. It's like, you know, when you get a dog from the pound, or like a rescue dog, and how sometimes they have a hard time warming up at first because they've just been through it. Sometimes when people have been through it, it feels uncomfortable to relax and... help, let people help them and welcome in like new period of like abundant or You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I literally do. You know, like, no one likes a redemption arc more than me.
So I was telling this to my mom, and my mom was, you know, because I'm trying to be compassionate towards her, because yeah, that'll like good and come back around to me somehow.
Yes.
And she was like, it was really resonating for her. And it was, even though she's like 70, it felt like there's like a 20-year-old, or like there's a young part of her that's just like this, like girl, like a girlfriend who's just like needs some relationship advice. And I was like, you know, like, hey girl, just like, I know you were kind of lonely there for a minute, but like, he's a nice guy. And she's like, you're right. You're right. Like, put aside all the other stuff.
Well, so this brings me into like this, what a perfect segue into my first topic of the night. I have a few bullet points because I assume that you're not watching, but have you been watching The Golden Bachelor?
I haven't. I know there's a lady from Minnesota who made it to the final.
Made it. She's top two. And first of all, if you need something to do with mom when there's just simply nothing else to talk about, it's a great mom watch. I've been watching with my mom and Joanne DeVito. Shout out Joanne and Anthony DeVito. Family that you would choose. Brother from another mother. So, okay. Golden Bachelor is really worth a watch with the moms.
Yeah.
And Leslie's repping Minnesota hard fucking core. Now, there are two left. There's Teresa and Leslie. Leslie has been divorced multiple times. She's a fitness instructor. She's youthful as shit. And she's sort of like the hottie. Then there's Teresa from Shrewsbury, New Jersey, who has a more similar story to, you know, that it's not Jerry, it's Gary. They both lost their spouses of 40 years or whatever. And now they're like ready to love again. And so they relate on that. He is a Leo, for the record. For someone who has not been watching, the big question that Molly and I have been contemplating, would you rather be with a widower or a divorcee?
That's a good question.
Because Leslie is a divorcee, whereas Teresa is a widower. A widower.
See.
A widow. Just a widow. I think it's just widow.
Yeah. That's tough because widower. If I was with a widower.
Yeah, like would you rather that your boyfriend's ex was dead or still alive?
I guess it depends on maybe how old I am, but I feel like
if they're
dead, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, they treated them good. Like, like they're like good at compromise. Like
got their till death, they satisfied the contract.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, this person can get to the end zone. I can do that with this person. Then it's, I feel like you might compare yourself to the dead, you know, to the dead wife. My mom's boyfriend's wife passed away in that house.
Okay. So, that's a thing. That's a thing.
I feel like she's in the house looking over them. I think she is happy that they met because my mom's helping him. She's helping take care of him, and she's like helping him be healthier. And I guess this woman, she was a wonderful woman. She was a social worker. She opened a little cafe. I'm really happy that he's a widower, not a divorcee. Because divorcee at 75, that's rough. Like, I went on a date with a guy very recently divorced.
Tell me more.
I met him on Twitter. I need to not date any more guys from Twitter. But
Wait. Not Tinder, but Twitter. How aptly named now? X?
X, yeah.
How do you even meet on Twitter / X?
Well, I didn't really use it till I moved back to Minneapolis, and it's like people are very isolated out here and we're awkward and it's hard to meet people.
Oh, a niche market.
Very niche, and weirdly, like, people from the Twin Cities do use X and will meet in person.
Wow. Wait, but like, use X, I mean, what? You get a DM from someone hot from the same city and they're like, hey, love your thoughts, love your 140 characters.
Yeah, I don't know if they're hot, but yeah, I get a lot of DMs.
So someone just slid into your DMs?
No, I saw him. He was running as a senator to the state.
And love that for us. We want senator vibes, yes.
Yeah, and he was like saying hot stuff, and I was like, great views, great policies, great attitude.
Yes.
You know, kind of like back when Bernie was based, that kind of like beleaguered sort of thing. Like, I don't even want to have to tell you guys what the deal is. I was like, that's what I like. But you could tell he didn't want to be divorced. And I found out later
Wait, but like, was it that he didn't want to be divorced or that he didn't want to like leave his wife? Like was it about her or was it about the title?
Okay, so the Twin Cities is kind of small, so you find the dirt pretty quickly.
I love it. I love that.
You would get in here.
You know, I love a hot goss. That's what this whole pot is, just hot goss.
But so I guess he had been married for like maybe 10 years to this nice lady. And then one day during COVID, she was like, I don't want to be married to you anymore. Also, I'm moving in with this other guy.
Oh.
It was like.
So wounding, like, deeply wounding.
Yeah, like super traumatic. Yeah,
that's really hard. That's really bad.
That's a lot. So I think he was shaken and he was like, I was not ready to be single.
Right.
And so when I
came
when
out
I
did, of nowhere, came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And so when
oh, that's so hard. Oh.
Yeah, I felt bad. I was just like,
get him into the MMA classes. He's got a lot to take out.
No, I just wanted them to get back together. Like the whole time we were talking. What happened? What was the rift? Like
what was it? What could you know?
I don't know. Maybe I should ask these questions. I kind of want to know like if someone's divorced, and a lot of guys my age, especially in the Midwest, because people here get married young as opposed to like on the East Coast in New York or somewhere, like people are getting married in their late 30s, you know, they're having kids in their early 40s. Here, 25, married, kid. And so everyone like my age, it's like weirdos are divorced, like recently divorced people.
Are you back in New Jersey?
Well, Pearl, that's an interesting question. Am I back in New Jersey? You know, yes, but I basically live in hotels. And otherwise, I pet sit in extremely high-end residences. So in January, my mom's baby sister just randomly died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No warning. Then my mom broke her arm in three places. We got a lot of mileage out of it being the humerus bone. I then had to run the doggy daycare because she couldn't. I mean, the whole thing. Like Pearl, like high drama. Like bad patient, high drama. I'd be driving her to her third doctor's appointment that day and she'd be literally in the car complaining how nobody's supportive of her. Nobody helps her. And I'm like, bitch, I am driving you right now and I got dog shit under my fake nails. Like, come on.
Oh.
In an attempt to be like a hero as her arm was almost healed, she tried to pick up our orthopedic Mr. Darcy. He's a super elderly dog. She tried to pick up Mr. Darcy. He's had two strokes. His head is literally turned backwards. He's like a Men in Black character. Like whenever the like aliens inhabited a body, that's like the dog version of Mr. Darcy. Bacon bit, right? So she tried to pick him up again and then broke her arm again. So I was here even longer. And now her other sister is in hospice. So it is what it is.
I've heard like grief is a thing that you just learn to live with. You don't get rid of. You accept that. It's like, well, it's just there.
I feel like we should watch The Golden Bachelor and then we should like discuss. I apologize. I misspoke before. It's not Maz and Paz. Now it's Grandmaz and Grandpaz because they're grandpazins. Pearl, welcome back.
So you were telling me the last time we spoke a couple days ago about The Golden Bachelor. And you were right. It is super wholesome.
It's like really beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful. No, like it touched my soul. I'm like, I can't believe I might be saving ABC, but I am like rallying around the nation. Trashler Nation, listen up.
So good. And the like camaraderie the women have with each other.
No, they're going to be friends for life. That's what I keep saying to Joanne. I'm like, no, this is like all the other seasons. Then it's like, we're going to go on Paradise and backstab each other. Or the younger seasons have more of like a camp thing where it's like best friends we met in 6 weeks. These women have been deeply lonely and have literally found their tribe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like, it's beautiful to see like with age can like come these like deep values. Like they're so seasoned. Yes. They have such a perspective on life. And they're like, no, I'm not going to sleep on the top bunk. Yes, I do have to pee all the time. Like
somebody saying, I literally just had knee surgery. I can't climb onto the top bunk is vulnerable.
It is. It is.
They want to be young. So anything that you share on this show is like giving yourself like a, you know, like a notch down.
You're touching on something here to see women aging on a reality show. It's the most kind of like genuine, authentic vulnerability you're going to have on a reality show. And yes. That is compelling. And that is interesting.
Real Housewives is highly curated in terms of what these women are bringing as like their storylines. Whereas in this case, these women are literally just like putting their hearts out there. This is improv. Like everybody's really just like winging it.
Yeah.
Can you believe we didn't even really know what we were even going to talk about? You brought to the table your mom's pending, you know, fiance status.
Oh, and, yeah.
Which is not in the cards, technically, but we're pushing her towards it, just like Gary's grandkids pushed him to become the Golden Bachelor. And it just so happens, the final two, one is from Minnesota, the others are from a New Jersey. yeah.
I do love to see a fellow Minnesotan on reality TV. As you may not know, I'm a big fan of Survivor. That's one of my favorite reality shows.
Really? You know, I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
The host is kind of this weird, like, Willy Wonka creepy guy who lives on this island in Fiji and then just, like, makes up these weird puzzles to subject people to. And they're, like, facing the elements. They're living off just rice. They're cutting weight. I've thought pretty seriously about applying. But anyway, so the like, fan favorite the last season was from Minnesota. And she was such a fan favorite. She was like, I think you would really like her. She really led with her emotions. And so people underestimated her.
Yeah.
She was like, emotional. That's how I lead. That's my game. But she was really plotting. She was plotting so much. And while she did not get a single vote at tribal council, who would know that, she really deserved it. And she was the fan favorite. And everyone was like, oh my God, Carolyn got robbed. But there's something that's really authentic, I feel like, about Minnesotan people. Like, we couldn't, even when we try to be fake, it's pathetic. We can't really do it. And so seeing her on Survivor, I was like, that is a Minnesotan woman. And then I'm seeing Leslie. It is a different culture out here.
Like, I'm from New York. New Jersey.
I feel like I appreciate that. Yeah, there's a different way of being, like, to the point and forthright on the East Coast and there is in the Midwest, because on the East Coast you just kind of cut through it and you're like, it's this or it's that, it's this or, and it's like, that's how it is. In the Midwest, it's like, it's flat, it's cold, we have all these weird lakes. It's just like, it's actually it doesn't matter what it is because you just have to keep living. And like, that's our perspective. It's not like it's actually everything, and it's fine, and you have to keep living, so just like, move on.
It's like, there's no time for feelings, we gotta thaw out.
Yeah, or like, what's the point of talking about our feelings if we're both gonna be stuck here all winter anyways? Like,
right, and that's where the East Coast would say, not only might we have deepened intimacy, great sex, and actually get along for once, we might actually get some material out of it. Let's make money, baby.
Yeah, I feel like there's like, kind of,
I feel like the Midwest like thinks it's being sincere, and it's like, as a result, it's just become just sort of in the same way that like Ann Taylor is being sincere, but it's like not like.
Yeah, cool. We are. I mean, Ann Taylor is pretty like Midwest coded.
I feel that a little.
It's a pragmatism. Like, I feel like on the East Coast, it's like there is a little more hopefulness, but you're also more able
of hopefulness. But then there's also right. It's high and low.
Yeah, you can express the despair. It's like, it's
right,
all there.
That's right.
Fine. In the Midwest, you don't have that. It's like, it's just, you hear like the cold blowing of the wind. And it's that's the sound of like the wind over the prairie in the dead of winter. That's your friend. Whoa. That's what's happening. That's like, you have to, that's blowing over everything else that's happening in your personal life. So you just have to.
I love that though. I mean,
It's interesting. Like, it is, I've thought about this since I moved back. It is a different culture, and there's like pros and cons to both sides.
Yeah.
I like a balance of it. Like, I feel like I seem like kind of like a sweet, chill, like nice girl in New York, and I seem like a bitch here. That's how I feel.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, in my travels, when I'm in the Midwest, I feel like really fucking like exotic and like ballsy. And in New York, I feel like a hermit who's like not strong enough to survive.
Yeah. But also the Midwest, it's so quiet and there's so much space and you're so alone in these ways that it allows you to like really develop a very unique voice a la Prince, you know?
Wait, where's Prince from?
Minneapolis, baby.
Oh my.
He's in Minnesota.
You know that this week, I Want to Be Your Lover is the highest trending song on Instagram Reels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it in a newsletter.
Oh,
yeah, I'm learning.
Well, it is Scorpio season, and Prince is very Scorpio.
Well, actually, it was Scorpio season, but now today.
Now it's Sag.
And
I'm feeling fired up for it, dude. I'm fired up for the.
You're such a freaking Sag, man. You're such a freaking Sag. But like,
Sag.
I don't know if you've ever watched past seasons of The Batch. I'm sort of, I guess I'm not new on it anymore, but I started watching during COVID for the pod, for the SEO. And this is the first Bachelor Nation season that I've watched so far where they have a cold open.
Hmm.
Every episode starts with basically him crying first. And then he's like, I'm having an emotion about this. And it actually is like wonderful.
I love seeing men get emotional as they get older. Love seeing it.
Haley's wedding. I'm telling you, Haley's wedding gave me a new lease on life. I did the best set I've had in years as the toast at her wedding. They had to pull me off. It was hours long. And my first line was, because her husband, Haley's husband, Brent, shout out Brent, welcome to the family, cried, I was going to say on the bima, but like on the altar, whatever, while they were doing their vows. And my first, and I was weeping, like I couldn't stop crying. I had to change outfits because I blew my nose in the pashmina 3 times and like it was apparent. And so I had clothes upstairs, so I changed, so me. But anyway, it was highly emotional. But that was my first line in my toast. Like, I came up as a joke with, like, a box of tissues under my arm. And I was like, you won't fool me again. You won't fool me again. Like, I love when men cry. And I went on, like, a whole I love when men cry rant. Starting with JTT in Man of the House.
Oh, yeah. And then Leo made a whole career
and
out of it.
And then Leo been crying. He been crying. Yeah.
But there's something interesting. I feel like as people get older, like an interesting thing happens with gender where men get more in touch with femininity and women get more in touch with their masculinity.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, you explore those depths of yourself. And so I like seeing that.
We always think of the moon as being the feminine and the sun as being masculine. We think of the sun as being masculine because it's obvious. It's radiant, it's illuminated, it's the dominant heat in the space. The moon, which is the actual only natural satellite of the planet Earth. So we're all moving around the penis sun. Sun, okay, sun, it's right there. It's on a little bit on the nose, okay? So the sun, the solar system that we know or that we're familiar with revolves around the sun, but the moon revolves around Earth. The moon is our satellite. The moon is that we've thought of it as that helicopter mother who is literally always wherever you are. A lot of the.
Are you about to flip it?
I'm actually about to flip it on its head.
So you're saying that the sun is Jada Pinkett Smith. And the moon is.
Do you know how women are on a 28-day cycle? Like, boo fucking who? Like, periods? Men are on a 24-hour cycle.
Really?
It's actually so emotionally overwhelming that they, like, can't address it because they, like, don't have the language.
I go to a martial arts gym and I, like, play, like, punching with boys, like, 3 times a week.
That was, like, the ultimate flirting for me for a really big part of my life.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. There's definitely some kind of sensual undertone sometimes.
Did you chase boys in the play yard?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was a big tomboy. Huge tomboy.
Yeah, I was I was fucking, I was tagging in tag. I was doing touch football way early.
Yeah. You're like feminine. You're very like femme coded and steeped in that energy, but you were also a tomboy. You're a maverick. You and I met a little over 5 years ago, and I feel
we met in 2017.
Yeah, so 6 years ago
we met specifically when I was doing one of the first major crazy things I ever. Now I've done a few since, but that was like really the first like crazy choice I ever made.
When you're trying to infiltrate that cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, I'm not totally steeped in all of the Golden Bachelor lore. Leslie's Jewish.
I've never seen such a Jewish, like, they were doing Hava Nagila in the pool at one point in the season. I've never seen more Jews on a reality show, let alone a dating reality show, in my life. There still were not as many women of color. I think some of them stayed longer than they maybe should have just because they were like, no, there are, and they're really great characters. And they actually are. Sandra, knockout star. Natasha, the aging coach, star. That's the thing. It is Gary or something better, right? The odds are against you. There's 30 to 60 women, and this guy has hearing aids. He could just tune you right out for diversity. So,
yeah. I do think, I don't know what his chart is like, and I don't know what her chart is like.
Oh, I got him up. I got him all up, baby.
I do think it's Leslie. Mm-hmm. I think it's Leslie. I don't think it's come out yet, has it? But I think it has to be Leslie. And I think even though Teresa can relate to him about having also lost a spouse, I think there's a genuine connection there with Leslie. He's different than all the guys that she's been with before. Like, her family kept saying that. Also, her sons were hot. I swear, I think one of her sons might be my ENT doctor. He looked like him. So hot, dude.
Tag him in the pod.
The last time I went to the ENT, he was like, oh, it's always so good to see you. And I was like, okay. Like,
there's no way he says that to everyone.
I feel like the sparks are clearly flying.
Team New Jersey for a second. And I want to say, Teresa was not my favorite, and I'm sure that that's my own shit. But...
yeah, but tell me why you think it's Teresa, because you're going to tell me.
Because... he wanted a deeper conversation from Leslie, and she, Minnesota fun girl, made it about sucks, which he specifically said in every trailer for the show and every preview. The fantasy suites might not be what you think they're going to be. It's not about knocking boots at my age.
We're very guarded people. We're very guarded. You know this about me. I'm guarded.
He literally has only had sex with Tony.
That is very sweet.
And he says at the beginning of the series, he talks to Tony every day. He has a secret little dresser in the back of the closet where his ties are. It must be a nice house. Way to go, you guys. Too bad you can't share it. But they do share it because he talks to her all the time. And she wanted him to do the show. And because he's a Leo, the grandkids were like, you got a papa. I don't know how he got connected. Would love to know that. But what a cutie. It does seem pretty fucking random. So he's from Indiana, which, side note, when I was working for a director and I was traveling a lot, sometimes after going to Indiana, I would long for Indiana. I don't know why. I would miss it. Even though I didn't like it, I was like, this place sucks. All there is an express open right now. There's just an express and an ale house. But something about it was the one quirky shop. I bought the best shit of my life kind of vibe.
Yeah. There's so little going on there that, when something is...
right, it's very obvious what's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is helpful to me.
Yeah. That is the Midwest. Again, going back to Prince. You would never get a Prince type of person from New York. Because he's
You could get a Prince type of person from New York. We would just think he was annoying.
You would think he was annoying. And then he also just wouldn't have the space to, get so uniquely himself and so weird.
No, they'd be like, everyone's dressing like Austin Powers in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And then also him being like so unique, so obviously sticking out, but then being so guarded and reserved.
Yeah.
But then also so cunty. And then also being like, no, I'm not actually gay. And it's like, okay, whatever.
Right.
Being that kind of cunty as an artist, that is a certain, it's icy. It's icy.
Did you notice that on The Golden Bachelor, Leslie dated Prince, your girl Leslie from Minnesota? Now, here's the thing. And again, it could be the editing, but the whole log line of the season was, who's the girl that I can't live without?
Oh.
It's not about who you can live with. It's about finding the woman you can't live without. And he says to Leslie on their date, you're the one. You're that girl that I can't live without. Now, if that's true, then really the most wholesome show on the planet. Because it almost was so obvious. And did you watch Clayton's season? They did this with the editing. It's like the same crew. They set it up looking like Clayton was professing his love to Rachel and then kind of pulled a fast one with Susie. But it's like, they've now gone on a million interviews. And actually, you want to get into there's some really good Clayton drama. He has bad karma for some reason, past life shit that he's just working out in public, but it's Leo Chiron shit. Yeah, he's getting sued by the second lady now who's accusing him of something that he did not do. It's actually like he's getting attacked for some reason. But anyway, the bottom line is he said, I love you to all three women and the world fucking turned on him. Gary also said, I love you to all three women.
But he did.
Well, that's the thing. We believed Gary, whereas we didn't believe Clayton.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And it's almost like you can just see where men at a certain point would just go, it's easier to lie.
Because Gary's not lying, because I feel like, again, with like him still talking to his late wife, I think that love is really present. So when he's out there and he's feeling like, no,
I think he does love all three of them. He was saying, yeah. I love you as a person.
Yeah, I feel like his late wife is sitting there next to him and saying, say it, sweetie. You do.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
go,
I agree.
Go out there. Go love with your big heart. Like, I want you to get as much love in as you can.
Well, so that was the turning point for me. He asked Leslie to go deeper with him. He wanted deep from Leslie. She went 6 inches deep, if you know what I mean, if they're lucky.
Yeah.
It seemed like the whole episode they were throwing Teresa under the bus, which honestly is a good production move because we as a viewers fucking hate her. She's so fucking annoying.
It's going to surprise everyone when he picks her.
Right. Because she has been the, and that's the thing, like, that's the thing. Kathy was, zip it. She had like a private talk with her. She said, hey, you need to zip it. And it was such unclear. Wires were getting so cross. And Teresa's like, I don't understand what I did. I was just talking about my date with my new girlfriends, like we all do. And it's like, no, you got the first one-on-one. You got the first. He kissed her first, according to the edit.
Do you think that's how it actually happened?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. He talks to Tony. Tony is in his life. She was a big part of the show. Teresa said, for the record, this would be a relationship between the four of us. They're about to go poly. Her husband, his wife. That's the thing that I think is going to seal the deal where he, and we can look at the charts.
You gave me goosebumps. The four of us. I was like, that's
what it is. It's because there's an understanding that, like, there's nothing to, what is that like to talk to your dead ex? He doesn't want to have that conversation. That is real.
Yeah.
I think Teresa sealed, and we can get to the astrology in a mo. You got a charge. I think Teresa sealed the deal when she made it effortless for him to actually not change that. And Leslie and Faith both didn't want to move away from their kids. Teresa was like, I would make it work. I'll quit my job. I don't give a fuck. I want to talk to my dead spouse with you.
See, and I think this is an important thing. I think in our contemporary age, in the present day, we are more and more being like split from our spiritual selves. We're,
yes,
like capitalism is grinding us down so we don't have the space to have a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that it's like, it's bad for us. It's toxic. There's like a physical toll it takes. There's like all, there's, it's a creative toll. It's a social
and
toll.
Why is this coming out now? Because Saturn is in Pisces. Saturn's been going retrograde in Pisces. So it's like, hey, get real. There's consequences to not having a rich spiritual life.
Yes, exactly. And I think a romantic partnership is about helping to like make that spiritual life and that space safe. It's about growing exploring it together. That's what good sex is.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say, though. You're talking about there was a moment a few years ago. Yeah, it was the Great Conjunction, which was led off by our Leo brother, Kobe. Kobe died. All the men cried. And then the plague. But it started with Kobe died and the men cried and we need to make it merch.
That sounds like a like updated version of that Drove My Chevy to the American Pie song.
Wow. Well, I've actually been really admiring Taylor for the first time, and I think we could write songs. So
you could write songs.
I would need your collaboration and support, but like I'm a Cancer, she's a Cancer moon, you're a Sag sun. So together we are Taylor. Ole, 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 Taylor. No, here's the thing about them real quick. Here's what I will say. They're perfect for each other because maybe it is because he's from the Midwest, but like watching her like run to him and make out with him was like so cringe.
Yeah.
Like I've loved everything until like the guy on the Chiefs. It's like, why did your pitch change? So like, that was not like, I get it, but it's like, and then he's like, oh, it's like, yo. Like,
oh, I kind of like the super cringe. I kind of like her just like running up to her football guy. Like, I have gotten weirdly like
I have never like ran to someone unless it was performative. I've never been like, I can't even run. It's like walk. That's so like annoying because she's also like kind of a big bird. Like, she's kind of a floppy runner. Like, she's like,
oh, she's floppy.
Like, which is the thing that's cute about them. Like, they're both also not that cool, but so they're perfect. They're right at the like $70,000 a year equals happiness, like market. Like, they're perfect for us.
Yeah. So
they could save democracy, them for president.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Taylor for president. Taylor's Eras Tour is going to just turn into a campaign party. So, you know, Molly calls her parents mommy and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who else calls their mommy and daddy, mommy and daddy?
Who? Gary?
The Kelce brothers.
Oh, I like the Kelce brothers.
I love athletes. They're highly coachable.
We have a lot of like big burly.
I like
guys.
A big goon, a big rich goon. It'd be great, especially if he's 80 and a paraplegic. He's gonna die soon. But wait.
The problem is, like, if they're really rich, they kind of lose their goon factor.
Bezos has never been more of a goon.
That's true. That's
that
true.
Dude is a gooning hard online. Yeah. Like, and Lauren is flexing and, like, way to go, girl. But, like, lol, 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 you guys. It's just, like, it just is objectively, like, the vibe is not cool is the thing. And it's, like,
yeah, maybe there is always a return to goon. But I like how much people like Travis Kelce's old tweets and his like simple mind.
I love them. I love them. And so many people, I guess, feel this way. I thought I was like early on it, but I guess it's how everyone feels, which is like, no, he returned hope to America. Like, he literally returned hope to the nation, the real nation, not just Bachelor Nation, the real nation. He's like an actual hard working, successful, nice guy who's close to his mom. He partners with his brother. Family is everything. He calls girls little ladies. He's so cute.
We're seeing like a return to like a kind of like a positive masculinity. I feel like the Barbie movie helped with that because Ken was the protagonist of the Barbie movie. He had the emotional arc. He had the self-awakening. Right. Barbie, not so much, but Ken, really, we saw something there.
That's so right.
The Mojo Dojo Casa House. And I go to a martial arts gym 4 times a week. I go to the Mojo Dojo Casa House. Okay, I'm there.
Are they all wearing furs?
I mean, it's actually so cute, Sarah, and you would love it. But these guys, they're fit and they're trying and they're sweet and they're from like there's people who are like are former Marines. There's people who like.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
In between like our little rounds where we're like sparring and we're like working. The boys are so wholesome with each other and they're like dancing and they're like, oh, dude, you look so good. Oh, no, I love your I love your gloves. And so like I'm seeing like finally we're getting to a point, and maybe this goes back to the sun and the moon and the masculine and the feminine understanding them. But like guys, I want guys to feel like they can have a positive relationship with their masculinity. And it wasn't until honestly like a couple years ago and I read some bell hooks after a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh no, patriarchy's bad for boys too, and like positive masculinity is a thing. And going back to Golden Bachelor,
absolutely,
Gary is really representing that. I think
he is really representing that.
And it's the vulnerability. Like, again, it's so hot when guys cry, usually.
He's so on the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
But not in a shallow way, in a transparent way. He's extremely transparent.
And there's something I think about him having been with his wife for so long and having lost her that his heart is right there. His heart's right there.
But you know what? Okay. Let's just talk astrology real quick. If you guys want a full deep dive on Gary's chart, you can scroll back. I believe it was September 30th. We did a Golden Bachelor intro ep with Molly and Casey, Molly's sister, who was for a while there the de facto co-host of the Trashler Nation wing of the podcast. We did Trashler, Trashlerette, and Trashler in Paradise during COVID, but then she went back to work, and so now that's done. But we did discuss Gary and his chart. So if you are interested in Gary and his chart, everybody check out that app. It's quite fun. But just a quick like summary of his chart before we take a look at the two finalists from our birth states. Gary is a Leo sun, Libra moon.
That's like, of course he is. Of course the Golden Bachelor, first of all, is a Leo sun, of course.
Such an obvious Leo sun, because that guy, full head of hair at 72. They did retrospectives where we saw all the years. That's his hair. That dude's got hair. And that's a Leo. That's a specifically Leo trait. Libra moon.
He's deciding between these two women. Of course, he's a Libra moon.
He's literally doing his soul work, balancing the scales of his heart, his Libra moon heart. Now, let's take a look at the two finalists. I will say, before we just forget her name completely, because she was, in fact, a big time fan favorite, Faith Martin. Faith got the first impression rose at the very beginning of the journey. She ended up being the third, or I guess the second runner-up. She went home at the end of the Women Tell All. And she was the one that if you were betting on it, you might have had your money on, because they seemed to have, from the beginning, a really, not only did they have a great, all three of these women and him had a great connection, but not only did she get the first impression rose, but she was highly likable. The thing about Teresa, who I now, after watching the last episode, have as the front runner, I want Leslie to win. I think Teresa might win now, as we were talking about, because of the Dead Relatives Club.
Teresa has a spiritual depth to her.
Yeah.
That would be good for Gary, knowing his kind of wife has passed on, is on the other side. Whereas Leslie, she's vibrant, she's vital, she's virile, she's living in the now, she's very present, but she's not willing to open up that spiritual side of herself.
Well, and I wouldn't say that it's not that she's not, who knows what she's willing to do. It's more of a just like, at the end of the day, if you have lost your spouse that you had a multi-decade happy relationship with, then you're going to be able to connect and understand without even saying anything to someone who's had that experience as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's just like little things. It's like, even with us, like we have a certain shorthand, just like, because we're comics, we have a certain shorthand because of like our time in the Triangle House. We have a certain, it's like, there are things that bond us to each other that I think when we can, not that we don't love to talk. In fact, it's all I do. But when we don't have to, here's what I think. I think that he's with Leslie going, oh my God, I'm having feelings like I would have wanted to cheat on my wife with you. Like, she's that badass fun girl, divorced a few times. Yeah. All like her brother is her dad. She's never had real love. She's always been mistreated. Yeah. So he could come in. The real thing is like, do I want to be Leslie's hero?
Yeah.
And like really show her what love is, which I do think there's a part of him, one part of his Libra scale is excited about. And then the other part of him is like, yeah, but like at the end of the day, is she going to get that I need to masturbate to Tony? You know, like, I don't know if.
Yeah.
Whereas Teresa might be like, let's go, let's eat this ayahuasca, or let's eat these edibles, go into the 5D and have a foursome with our spouses and masturbate side by side.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Right. So I think it's coming down to who really wants to come with the dead exes or not. And astrologically, so Faith Martin was the fan fave. She too is a Leo, which I just think is interesting. I think it's interesting that on the Golden Bachelor, we're seeing a lot of Leo energy. And the reason I say that is because something that I'll say it again. The funny thing about Leos is that, like, they don't always, Leo suns specifically, how do I put it? They're like performers, but sometimes you have to like get them to perform. Like Leo moons are much more performative than Leo suns, actually. Leo suns are more like, I am the radiant sunlight, but like there's a sense of child, like I want to be comfortable at home in order to be like the show for the family.
It's like this Kristen Wiig sketch on SNL where she's like, don't make me sing.
Yes, don't make me sing. Exactly. Damn. Exactly.
My mom is so like that. Oh my God.
Because right. My mom's a Leo rising. Right. My mom's a Leo rising. Your mom's a Leo sun. My mom is walking in performing and then we're like, stop. And she's like, I wasn't doing anything. Your mom is like, don't make me sing. And you're just singing.
Yeah.
That is the difference between Leo sun, moon, and rising. Mm-hmm. And what I also think is that later in life, like, it's actually no surprise to me that now, like, your mom is actually comfortably sitting in the seat of love, because something that is a misnomer about astrology, actually, not misnomer, it's the wrong word. What's the word I'm looking for? Like,
misconception?
Misconception. A misconception in astrology is that, like, our sun signs are just, like, what we are. We become our sun signs. Every year of our life, we grow more and more into the I am of our solar radiant energy. But actually, we're more our moon signs. We really are being subconsciously controlled by our lunar nature, our internal nature. So you're a Leo sun. So it's actually much easier for you to express yourself through art and performance, because you can't help but to do that. Whereas a Leo sun is like, should I? Whether it's fall in love or get on stage.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, so Faith is Leo sun.
Faith is a Leo sun. Her birthday, Gary's birthday is August 7th. Her birthday is August 10th. So they have very, very, like, almost to the degree same solar energy. But his moon's in Libra. Her moon is in Sag, where we see that playing out, and then we'll move on. Her hometown date was clearly, like, the coolest. She lives on, like, a ranch. She, like, rides her horse to the store. But low-key, that's not a life for Gary. This dude wants to be near his grandkids in Indiana. And she states, first and foremost, on that hometown date, I don't know if she knew, but she was shooting her horse in the hoof, because she literally said, like, I would never leave here. And it would be one thing if she was in, like, Seattle, even, or, you know, a bustling metropolis. She's like in the
but not sticks. Where the buffalo roam,
right? Like, that's a great vacation home where the buffalo roam, but we need an airport nearby. So that's, I think, where she was going to win, but then that was just never going to work, because where do you live and you will not move? You don't have a car, you have a horse. Fuck this.
Well, like, my mom is a Leo sun Sag moon, and
your mom is Faith Martin.
My mom is the same, Faith Martin, and my mom is very much like, it seems like she's flexible, because she's kind of like into what she's into in her own way. She bikes an insane amount. She plays piano all the time. But she's like, do not ask me to do any of that differently. It's like, this is what I like doing.
That's Sag.
Yeah.
Sag energy at best is adventurous, fun, lightens things up. At worst, it is like righteous and stuck in their ways and thinks that what they think is the truth with a capital T. Whereas, like, that's why it's the opposite of Gemini, which is like, there's infinite truths. So it's the same axis of understanding, but it's two very different polarities. And one isn't right or wrong. We're all seeking to find a balance with all
but
of the
fire signs. Fire signs are not known for their nuance.
Certainly not. That's actually a really, really good point. And oh my God, now my computer's about to die. Hold on. Say more about that real quick while I plug my opinion.
If I'm thinking about what signs are going to be the best at kind of like, like seeing multiple angles of things, for sure, air signs. For sure,
air signs.
Maybe the best. Water signs, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, water signs are like, we're in it with all the emotions. Earth signs, again, not as much. Earth signs and fire signs. Earth signs are like, listen, practically speaking, I understand that there's multiple points of view.
Yeah.
But I'm right here and this is what I see. And then fire signs are just like, I'm on fire. It's so much energy. Like, this is the truth. Right. And fire is the ultimate truth. Like, what is it?
Right. Fire is extremely unbridled. And it's like, not necessarily like, I think it's interesting too, because like the signs mature. So it's like Aries is the truth in terms of just like that spark, the undeniable spark. It's like life. Yeah. It's like light in the dark.
Yeah.
Leo is undeniable. Like, it is that feeling of like, I'm safe enough to like write you the sappiest Valentine's Day card and like write you a sonnet and like, you know, sing you an audio note, like out of my pure love, or just like write a show about the family to do at Thanksgiving. Right. It has so much love that it's bubbling over at best. Sag energy is like, even in mythology, the bridge between the gods and the humans, ultimately with Prometheus. And we can look at the planet Uranus for this, where it is in your chart, where you're bringing fire to the people. But that was where Zeus got really fucking pissed, because he was like, you gave the humans fire? That's for the gods. Now they can eat, they can warm themselves, they can survive, they can cook. Like, fire is the ultimate destroyer. It's the ultimate transformer. It also is the ultimate in sort of like self-care. Fire is what brings it all together, because with fire, yeah, we can actually transform shit. So anyway, yeah, just a thought. Now, let's take a look at Minnesota girl, Leslie Fema. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What do we got?
This is so interesting. Wow. I'll try to be quick. Okay. Leslie is a Capricorn sun.
Okay.
With her moon in Leo. And I was just talking about Prometheus and Uranus. Her Uranus, mm-hmm, is to the degree connecting with Gary's sun. So Leslie really is, not only, first of all, in Sinistry, we love sun-moon connections. We love sun-moon connections. Who he is on the outside is who she is on the inside. Mm-hmm. They had a moment on a bench when she revealed her hearing aid, that one app where they really bonded. And he was like, I'm really realizing that like who you are on the outside is this like cool, tough chick, sexy, cool, tough, sexy chick. On the inside, you're like a real mush. That's why in that last hometown app, I was so hurt, or in the fantasy suits app, I was so hurt for her, because now, especially knowing she's a Capricorn sun, Leo moon, he said to her essentially on camera, you're the one, I'm picking you. That's how I read it. And if he doesn't, like, that's all a Leo moon might not even ask for it, but all they really want is the applause. She's a Capricorn sun, Leo moon. So her career was that she was like a hot bitch fitness instructor, and still is. Great body, great moves. That's such a Capricorn sun expression of a Leo moon, because it's like, yeah, I will dance. I'll do it for money. I'm choreographing it and I'm the best and I'm the leader. Her Uranus on his sun, he is definitely rethinking life. He's like, holy shit, my life with Leslie would actually be such a fucking adventure. I have no idea what that would look like. She did shoot herself in the foot a little tiny bit, because she also said, I don't really want to leave my family. Now, in the chart of their relationship, when I looked at their relationship astrology, the sun of the relationship is in Libra, but it's exactly conjunct Neptune, and the moon is in Virgo. So this might be, so sun and Libra relationships hypothetically are really good, because it's like the natural, like, we are two of a kind, Laverne and Shirley, we come together, like, na 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 na, dinky dinky don. But sun conjunct Neptune, either it's like, this is the relationship of my dreams, or it's all too much of a fantasy.
Mm.
That's what Neptune does. Now, the reason that I feel a little bit about it is because the moon is in Virgo in this relationship. The combination of that Neptune conjunct the sun in the composite chart in Libra with that moon in Virgo, it's kind of like, how do you fix spiritual lessons that aren't really like of the earthly plane? Or how do I put it? Like, you can't necessarily, even though it's the life's work of the axis of Virgo Pisces, you can't always fix Pisces problems with Virgo work.
Hmm.
It might have a spiritual disconnect, probably because of just their life experience, that just might never act. They would be trying to fix what feels broken. And it's actually that nothing's broken. she could just be the person that he doesn't marry and then continues to have as a fantasy when in 10 years he now hates Teresa. That's just a thought. Now let's look at Teresa really quickly, and then we will go off for Thanksgiving.
Would the moon in Virgo in their relationship also like speak to maybe this is going to be challenging to kind of like work, because like my south node's in Virgo, you know, but like
my Venus is in Virgo. I know all about Virgo energy.
Oh, so is it like, does that make it harder to sometimes navigate the nuance in the relationships and the kind of the messier moments, or not necessarily?
It depends on both of the people's charts and the nature of the composite chart. But like the reason that because the sun and Neptune are together in Libra, where there's kind of that like boundarylessness, but it's sort of also wishy-washy. Neptune is like fantasy. Virgo is reality. So there's a disconnect between what work they would need to do in relationship to actually get to that fantasy. I kind of feel like if they got together, they would always be like chasing the high of the one time that they were like sent in an air balloon on The Bachelor, which like they're never going to get IRL. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, this show is kind of a fantasy. And she is she's a 60 something on the show. Teresa turned 70 on the show. He's 72. She's like 64. She's young. She's a fitness instructor. She's this hot, damaged with a motorcycle jacket. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's cool. And he's like, wow, we could really like do I don't even know what together, which like, excites him, but also is like, in general, a Virgo moon in a relationship isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just depends. Like for me, a relationship with a Virgo moon might be really helpful. Somebody might just cook and clean for me and I might actually be a healthy person, you know? So it's not all bad. My love language is acts of service. That's how I give all of my love, acts of service. And because I'm a Virgo Venus. So Virgo isn't all bad. It's just like, it has to be like agreed upon between both parties. Now, get this. Teresa, New Jersey contestant, finalist on The Bachelor. Teresa is also a Leo sun.
No.
Uh-huh. This is all Leos this show. Wow. And wouldn't you fucking know? Teresa's a Leo sun and a Gemini moon. He's a Libra moon. Now this is...
That is a really good...
match.
That's such a match.
I hadn't even looked at this beforehand, and now I'm like, oh, my prediction is clear. Yeah. It is gonna be Teresa, because we don't necessarily even understand, because it is air connection. So it is between them. That's where in the finale, when he said to her, like, but I thought he was being so much more whack to her than to Leslie. Looking at these charts now, I understand it more, because with Leslie, like, he was expressing this like fantasy of what would it be like to say, I love you to you and to fuck you. And, you know, you wanted to talk about fucking and you wanted to talk about like damaged goods. And like, whoa, you bad girl. Whereas with Teresa, all he seemed to say to her was like, but you know. And I was like, that sucks. He's like fucking with this bitch. And I, looking at the charts now, but I'm like, she knows. Yeah, she knows.
And she's kind of nodding. I watched also when they like go home and when he was talking to Teresa, and she was just kind of like nodding on that bench, like, yeah, come on.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, yeah. And I think you're right about the edits too. I think they, you know, they want us to be surprised. So we're seeing a lot of chemistry between Leslie and Gary, but
The only hint of villain on the show was Teresa, and it was only because she didn't fully understand that, like, not that's what's so cute about this show. Barely any of them even like watch the show. They don't really know what they're doing. So when Teresa didn't get the first rose, but she got the first like leaning in to make out with you. He made out with her first. And that was something that everyone talked about. Then he picked her for the first one-on-one. So when she came back from that first one-on-one, she was talking about it like they were about to get married. And specifically Kathy, one of the other women, but a few of them were getting a little bit annoyed because they were like, hey, shut the fuck up. Like, we're all dating him, hypothetically. And she was really like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, aren't we here to go on dates with Gary and then come back and talk about it with the girls? And it's like, well, sure, but like, you know, she, you're sort of flexing, Teresa. I think you know that. And she's a Leo. So she might be like, I'm not even. I'm a Gemini. Leo sun, Gemini moon. She's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but she knew they were having like a deep connection. She knew what was going on. She felt it. She felt the sparks. Yeah.
Okay, let's look at their composite real quick. Just the chart. Oh my God, Pearl.
Don't tell me it's a Leo sun. Don't tell me.
It's a Leo sun, Leo moon. It is a brand new start for both of these Leos in the heart centered sign of Leo. I think this is Teresa.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. 100%. 100%. I got chills when you said Leo moon, Leo sun.
A new moon composite relationship for 2 second marriages is fucking beautiful.
Damn.
Dawning of a new time for these two lovebirds. Wow. We don't know if we're right here, but I think based on the predictive astrology, my guess would be Teresa. Also, Jersey girls always win in the end. And
you guys do.
I guess we'll have to see. Yeah, and I think the Minnesota girls are actually way cooler. So, you know, respect for you too.
Well, it's like Sopranos versus Fargo, you know.
Right. And both have a place. Right.
Both have a place. But I am gonna, you know, who could argue against Tony?
So. Nobody should. You swim with the fishes. You swim with the motherfucking fishes. Whoa. All right. Well, this was a fabulous kismet episode of Golden Bachelor. Thank you so much, Pearl, for joining me. Now that you have a mic, you might have to be doing this with me a lot about stuff. So I'll keep you posted. But we have much to discuss. We could do this all day. Been such a pleasure. If anybody wants to follow you or like communicate with you, how would they do that?
They could go to Instagram.com or twitter.com and find me at Hi Pearl Rose. But I am both.
Not like stoned Pearl Rose, but also.
Yeah. HIPEARLROSE.
Shit. Goals, big time goals. The other last thing is I heard an interview with, have you been up with the coverage about Mama Kelsey, Donna Kelsey?
I'm not up.
Okay. If you were feeling stoned later and you're still in your mom's boyfriend's house and you just want to keep celebrating this love of senior citizens, just check out. You can listen to the podcast. There's also an episode about Donna Kelsey and Jason Kelsey's astrology. But I will say this. You know what she looks like? She was at. Well, do you know what she looks like?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Google her real quick and then I'll just say something.
Okay.
Because she was on the Today Show and she's handling these interviews. I mean, ever since the Super Bowl where her two boys played against each other last year, she's been pretty viral. But ever since Taylor and Travis, she has been the mom of the
world. Look at her. Look at her.
Not only does she look super similar to Taylor's mother, so you know that he's already attracted to who she's gonna be when she's 60.
With the bangs too, the blonde
with the bangs. With the bangs.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I just pulled up a picture of her and Taylor together.
Are you dead?
Yeah. Look at them. Oh my God.
Bosom buddies. Now, ready for this? You want to hear the coolest thing I heard all week? So she was asked on the Today Show because now it's becoming obvious that like these two are, you know, in a relationship that is clearly going to be biopic someday, right? So they said, who would you want to play in the movie of like the Kelsey's biopic? Or no, she said, who would you cast in the biopic? Who would you want to play you? And she said, without even skipping a beat, Melissa Etheridge. Is that the best fucking answer you had ever heard?
Yeah, she already knows. She knows she's going to be asked this question.
She knows she picked
seriously
the coolest power musician lesbian of all time. I would go gay for Etheridge. She's my number one. She's always been my number one. Come to My Window brings me back time and time again. I used to lay on the triangle back porch when I was like, LOL, now homeless in a different way, and I would listen to Come to My Window over and over and weep at the moon. Light of the moon.
Yeah.
That was the wrong tune, but so when she said, I think she's a really groovy chick, and I think she sort of looks like me, so I want Melissa Etheridge. And I thought, wow, these people have sealed the deal with. I mean,
a really good explanation as well.
Love is fucking
a really groovy chick. The fact really that she said shit like that—that's
she's a really groovy chick.
Yeah, only a really groovy chick uses a phrase like that.
Real, recognized, real.
Yeah. Likewise, that's how I feel about you.
I was just gonna say. Wow. Well, okay. Whoever wins in the Golden Bachelor, we are winning from coast to mid coast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Rate and review, leave a 5-star review or none at all. Join the Patreon. Even if you're a hater, join the Patreon. Do it there. Don't leave a review or hate us, but leave 5 stars. It's the stars that we need. We need 5 stars and reviews in order to monetize. So thank you so much for your support. Join us on the Patreon for more from Pearl. We also have a really silly episode with Desi coming right at you. So any final words before we go? Oh my God, the final words! Oh my god.
Wow. Well, no, it's lovely to see you, Sarah. And it feels like this was the right time for us to be connecting again. And
over the row, over the final rows with the two finalists from our homes. You're in your mom's boyfriend's house.
Yeah, this is Golden Bachelor territory.
This is Golden Podcast territory. Will you accept this as the final line, Rose? Pearl Rose?
I will. I will, Sarah Armour.
That's beautiful.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.